welcome along to Burst Brexit Debate. June the 23rd, that's the day that the UK will go to the polls to decide whether or not we should leave the European Union. With only 100 days of campaigning left, we look into the key issues of this hot topic. On the show today, we kick off with a debate between campaigner Charlotte Thackeray and Martin Holden from Vote Leave. And later on, we speak to Mike Byatt from Labour, Hayden Taylor, an ambassador for Youth World, and law expert Rebecca Morris. We would welcome your input and hope you get in touch on Twitter at Burst Radio or via Burst's Facebook page. Charlotte Thackeray from Stronger in Europe, from the Stronger in Europe campaign, joins us in the studio now. And so, Charlotte, we're going to be talking about some of the really key issues in this debate. And obviously, you're from Stronger in. So, first of all, what are the main reasons that you want to stay in Europe?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me along. The Stronger In campaign is a cross-party campaign, so we're looking at all the main big issues across the spectrum, really. It's about benefiting, well, in establishing the EU as a stronger, we benefit from a stronger economy, safer in the EU through and defending us from things like terrorism and just strengthening Britain's security. And EU funding supports every region of the UK, particularly in the southwest, in terms of things like agriculture and education. It's a wide range of issues.
A wide range of issues, of course. And mainly today we're going to be discussing the economy, immigration and sovereignty. So I know you've talked about the economy there. Just as a counterpoint, the Leave campaign would probably from their website argue that there would be a jobs boom as firms are freed from EU regulations and that jobs are associated with trade, not membership of the political union. So what would you respond to that by saying?
I would start by saying that, yes, while jobs technically aren't done linked to a political union, working in a university, I can tell you now that a number of our roles here that are specifically catered towards European Union roles and European Union students would probably lose their jobs quite quickly. In terms of how many people we have abroad, we have a number of workers throughout the EU who would potentially lose their jobs or have their jobs at threat should they leave. Whilst I think that the Leave campaign can argue that, absolutely, but at the same time, people will lose their jobs. You also have another group of people working abroad who may have to come back here. So linking that with immigration, there potentially would be an influx of people, British people coming back, but may not want to come back because they are happy in their jobs. Some of the key important roles within the EU are actually with British people right now. So again, would their jobs be threatened because of us leaving the EU as well?
Yeah, I suppose you mentioned there with jobs, there's a lot of jobs from people that come into the EU that do jobs British people don't necessarily want to do, and it's such an important cycle, isn't it?
We would certainly argue that. I think there has been a lot of media coverage around a number of areas in which Dorset and British people don't want to take certain jobs that potentially EU migrants are willing to do. Also, they bring a vast array of expertise working in a university. I can honestly say that the scheme that I run, international, particularly EU students, bring a breadth of experience and knowledge that is incredibly enriching, and we would certainly lose if we left.
So from your point of view then, in terms of the economy, it's a vital thing that Britain stays in the EU.
There is no doubt that we pay a lot of money into the European Union, and I think that there are plenty of reforms that are currently underway that David Cameron has tried to eradicate or certainly try and change. However, I think it is a drop in the ocean compared to what we get back from the EU in as a whole, not just the jobs, but science, film, all our other industries, agriculture, massive industries that benefit from our membership in the European Union as well.
Okay, and another interesting topic is the immigration argument. And obviously a lot has been said about that, the rise of kind of UKIP and Nigel Farage, which probably actually made this European referendum happen, is because some people say free movement of people has got out of control, but others would argue that one of the best parts of being in the EU is because of the free movement of people. So what would you say to that?
I think the free movement of people is probably one of the biggest assets. Cheap travel, cheap aeroplane travel around the EU is a massive benefit to many people. I, in April, am going to Norway on an Erasmus exchange to exchange views and train up other people, my counterparts in Norway. I would not be able to do that without EU funding. I think the immigration one is, a lot of people feel that we would get our borders back. Well, if we did, the borders potentially would also be moved from Calais to Dover, with the French having absolutely no obligation to stop any of our any of their immigrants coming through from France. But again, it is the case of how many people here would lose their jobs because they'd have to go back overseas. When we've been canvassing recently on the doorstep, what's really come through is the amount of people that are here now who have been here for 10, 20, 30, even one gentleman's been here for 65 years. And he was really worried that he was going to be forced out of the UK because of us leaving the EU. And he came over here to work for one of, well, this area's biggest financial companies. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And I feel that if with immigration, yes, potentially UKIP would argue and the Leave campaigns would argue that we'd lose and so many people. But again, those expats who are abroad, the 2.2 million people who are abroad, mostly in Spain, are mostly retirees if they do live out there. And they would come back here potentially being a massive burden on the NHS because they're older. Also would have to find jobs back here as well, or housing, which, as we know, is terribly oversubscribed to at the moment and under threat as well. So I think that while people will look at the headlines and see the big statements made by Boris and Nigel Farage and George Galloway, there's definitely a point to which you kind of have to say, I would encourage people to actually look at the facts and look deeper into the arguments and not just look at potentially the Daily Mail, which apparently yes. says that that was immigration was the cause for the floods in Cumbria, which it most certainly wasn't.
Okay, so still plenty to discuss on at the moment, and I know Charlotte's given her side of the argument for immigration there, and she made a lot of very strong points from the Stronger In perspective. Martin Halden is now on the line from the Leave campaign. So Martin, we were just talking about immigration there, and obviously this is going to be one of the most hot topics of the whole campaign. Now, free movement of people, some people would argue it's gone too far and that there are too many immigrants from the EU in this country now, and that we should leave to take our control our borders again. Others would argue that that's one of the best parts of being in the EU. What would you say to this?
Well, I think first of all we have to accept that, you know, immigration, whilst it is one of the main topics, is certainly not the only ones, and I don't want this to become a referendum purely just about immigration. But, you know, we have to have some sort of sensible controls. You know, no government can do anything sensible, make any infrastructure planning, whether that be for, you know, roads, schools, or hospitals, if they simply have no idea of knowing how many people are going to be living in the country in 5 or 10 years' time. You know, nobody is against immigration, and this certainly isn't an anti-immigrant referendum. But when we're having somewhere north of 330,000 people entering the country every year, you know, and that's, let's not get this wrong, that is a city the size of both Liverpool and Aberdeen combined, coming into the country every single year, it's no wonder that parents are having trouble getting their kids into a decent school, or people are waiting on NHS waiting lists, or the roads and the infrastructure around, as we travel around, just even our own borough, is finding more and more difficult to do. So, I think a sensible way to do this is to have this what people call the Australian-style point system, where we say, for sure, if we have jobs that people can't do in this country, and sadly some people won't do, I'm sure we'll get onto that later, then of course, we'll roll out the red carpet for people to come here. But a completely open-door immigration policy, which, harms more than anything low-skilled workers, because it's been proved that open-door immigration results in massive wage compression, particularly in that sector, I think it's just absolutely crazy, because we have no idea in 5 years' time, particularly if Turkey joins the EU, whether there would be 100,000 people coming into the UK every year or 5 million. We just don't know.
Okay, Martin, I'm sure we've got a lot to talk about still. Charlotte, though, what would you respond to that by saying?
I would say that, firstly, hello, Martin. And I would say that open door is probably quite a strong. I think they don't just all waltz in here. I think it's very much, and certainly my students who are EU students, have to walk, don't have to come straight in, and they have to go through a number of hoops. I would also, for me, the European Union should be doing a lot more to understanding why people want to come here. And I think we would probably say, from a sort of stronger in perspective, that more needs to be done in terms of EU reform to maybe help in those countries where people are coming over here potentially for whatever reason, in which they can basically say, well, why aren't you getting jobs back in Bulgaria, Romania, Estonia, just to pick on the sort of the main ones that people normally pick up on. And I think that, sorry, did you want to come back on that one?
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like we're going to have a reasonable debate, which is nice. I don't really like this kind of arguing of polarised left and right thing, because I don't think it's bigger than that. But, we have, we do have a total open door policy to the other 27 EU member states. So when I say open door policy, I'll clarify that and just say this is European Union states. It is not the rest of the world. But that is still, at the moment, potentially 485 million people. And if Turkey join, obviously it gets near or just over 550 million people. Now, obviously, I will happily admit that not all of them are going to get up and leave tomorrow and come here. To say that would be crazy. But still, all of those people have an unalienable right to come to the country, have free health care, have education, have the right to a standard of living. Now, if you're saying, we need to dissuade people or do more in their countries, that's a reasonable point of view. But you've got to remember that with the living wage now coming in here, we have a minimum hourly rate, which is 10 times that of what it is in Bulgaria. Whatever we do there, that's going to be an enormous pull to the people, particularly in the far eastern states of Europe, to come to the country.
Right. Thank you very much, Martin. I'm afraid because of the time, we have to wrap it up there. And thank you to Charlotte as well. Earlier on, Hayden Taylor, who's the ambassador for Young World, spoke about why he believes the union has its downfalls, but not enough for us to part ways.
The European Union is not perfect. I don't think there are many people who would say that it is. But in the dangerous world that we live in today, I think unions of this form, and also in terms of the way the economies of the world are changing, I think it is really important that we have a union like the European Union to protect our interests, but also to promote our interests. We are in a very dangerous place as a world, effectively, at the moment, lots of war and terror. And actually, I think the common values of unity and respect and working together are so important now more than ever.
Okay, and I'm just looking at the actual campaigns themselves, the in versus the out. Which one would you be voting for?
Well, I think both the campaigns are doing a pretty poor job of providing a nuanced view of the referendum. There seems to be lots of spin, not lots of factual information. So it's actually very misleading for the public. For myself, for my own opinion, I won't be listening to either of them. I'll be doing my own research, and I'll be voting to stay in the European Union.
Okay, and today on our topics, well, the first of which is immigration. And which argument do you stand on for immigration?
We are to survive as a global economy. It is really, really important that we actually don't say we're going to close the borders. Immigration's got, you know, too much. We can't cope with it. Actually, I think immigration has worked miraculously well for this country. Provides an awful lot of NHS nurses, all of our doctors, our healthcare system is effectively propped up by immigration. And without it, we would be in a very, very bad place. And also in terms of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and maths, it's a massive gap in our economy. And without the necessary levels of immigration that you know, if we take this kind of isolated view, the Nigel Farage view, that we should not let people in because it's bad for the country, they're, you know, using all of our public services, we would actually find we would not be able to thrive and prosper as a nation as we currently are doing as a result of having that immigration and that that access to those skilled people. There are definitely arguments for sensible immigration policies, and I think that we do need to look at a points-based system. But at the same time, I really do believe in the European freedom of movement, which I think is really, really important. For me as a young person, I like the fact that I'm able to move over to Spain or France or Italy or wherever and find a new life for myself. And integrate into a different culture.
Another topic we're going to be talking about today is sovereignty as well. And obviously, a lot of powers have been given up to Brussels, and a lot of laws are made in the EU that restricts Britain. What do you think?
The government actually estimates the percentage of laws made by Europe is between 9% and 14%. So it's not as significant as you would assume. But actually, some of these pieces of legislation are really, really useful, especially when we're talking about fisheries, fishery policy, because ultimately there's this big argument on, you know, who owns the seas. And actually, if we take a European-wide approach to fishing, we're able to create a better ecosystem in the seas so that we're not overfishing and we're not overpolluting the seas as well. So actually, I think it's useful in some places to have this legislation. And I don't think it's as severe as it's being made out in the press, because it is actually a reasonably small quantity of legislation that comes through the European Parliament. And actually, a lot of the time, it is really quite useful stuff. The European body is not trying to screw us over as a country, ultimately. They are there trying to create the best legislation for a really prosperous European Union.
Well, our final topic is about the economy. Both sides of the campaign, one in the campaign says that our economy benefits from staying in the EU, and the Leave campaigns are saying actually it would be better, and other people are saying it's a jump into the dark, who knows what's going to happen. What do you think we'd be better off doing, and what's the reasons for that?
If we want to safeguard jobs, then I think it's absolutely crucial that we stay in the European Union. There are so many economic benefits of being part of a trading bloc like the European Union. And there seems to be this whole argument that if we got out of the European Union, we'd suddenly be able to start trading with China and the US and everything. We're already doing that. And actually, by being a part of the European Union, we're able to trade more easily with these countries because we are a trading bloc. We are working together with other countries to sign these trade agreements. Ultimately, the US is not interested in just one small country in terms of economic output, one small country that's only got 60 million people in it. What they will be interested in is a massive continent that's got hundreds of millions of people in it and far more clout behind it. So actually, in economic terms, it makes sense for us to stay within the European Union. And I fully buy into the notion of the fact that actually, by working together, we can have stronger and better economic benefits than if we were to leave. And I actually think that we would be in the, you know, lurching into the dark a bit by leaving the European Union, because so many jobs are reliant on our close trade deals that have been formed as part of the European Union. And I think there were some studies being done around kind of the number of jobs linked to it within Portsmouth, and I think that totaled around 3,000, if I'm correct on.
Now we're going to look into whether businesses would be affected by leaving the EU. I'm with our business reporter Isabella to discuss these issues. So Bella, what is the current situation with businesses on staying or leaving the EU abroad?
Well, Mark, recent business polls suggest that businesses are divided on whether they should vote to leave or stay in the European Union. Britain's biggest lobbying group says that 80% of business members questioned in a survey want to leave the EU.
And what are the main concerns regarding Brexit?
Well, the British Chamber of Commerce says 55% of members back staying in a reformed EU, and equally, the CBI said the majority of nearly 800 firms taking part felt Britain remaining in EU in Europe was better for businesses, jobs and prosperity. Despite this, some businesses reject the rationale for the single market and think we can have a free trade without the supremacy of EU law.
And why would some businesses want to stay in the EU?
Well, some businesses, including BT, Marks & Spencer's and Vodafone, said an EU exit would deter investment in the UK. Also, businesses need unrestricted access to the EU market of 500 million people in order to continue to grow, invest and create jobs. According to the Office for National Statistics, 630,000 national insurance numbers were issued to EU citizens, creating jobs and boosting economic growth for the UK. But until the 23rd of June, there'll still be uncertainty of the future of Britain's businesses.
Thank you very much, Bella. Now, immigration we've discussed today, and of course, it's one of the main issues. So before we move on to our next interview, we're going to hear from some of the key figures in this debate. The Tories have been split because of this referendum, and here, Eurosceptic John Redwood, Prime Minister David Cameron and MP Andy Slaughter argue their cases.
This is public information which the government takes taxpayers' money to collect, and surely it should be generally available. If they think the numbers are wrong, they need to have a working party to correct them. If the numbers are right, they shouldn't be ashamed of them, but they should publish them. The government is rightly proud of how many jobs we've created, and every person in a job needs a national insurance number. So why can't they share it with us?
The reason why these numbers don't tally is, of course, you can get a national insurance number for a very short-term visit, and people who are already here but without a national insurance number can apply for them. So these numbers are quite complex.
I think people deserve answers to those questions, but I'm not quite sure it's as doom-laden as the Leave people say. Actually, what you've got is, yes, you've got people coming here to work and sometimes to settle, but you've also got people moving about quite freely, and that's of course British people working in Europe as much or more than it is Europeans working over here.
So EU law is a controversial issue, and now we have Rebecca Morris on the phone, who's a law expert, and hopefully she can give us an insight into what's at stake if we leave Europe. So Rebecca, what laws will change if we leave?
So if we were to leave the EU, there's a multitude of law which potentially could change. Of course, just because we did leave the EU didn't mean that any of the law that came from Europe would change. It would all be down to parliamentary debates, because obviously we'd need Parliament to discuss whatever laws they want to reform. So it could range from anything from international fishing law to immigration.
And how will it affect the UK if we stay?
If we were to stay in the EU, there may be significant reform proposals, as per the wishes of David Cameron and the Conservative Party, who are currently discussing with European authorities. These are subject to whatever has been discussed, though, as we speak. However, the controversial topic of the free movement of people may be left unresolved if we stay within the EU. As we've seen, the European community is highly unlikely to move their position on this, being that it's one of their main foundations of the establishment. Therefore, this would result in further clashes over the number and types of immigration from European job seekers into Britain, showing no development in the relations between Britain and Europe.
Okay, and you mentioned it there, our free movement of people is obviously a really important issue here. And what do you think about that?
I think that as an establishment, the European community understands and bends with the time. Because obviously, if there's opportunities of work in Europe, we all in Britain have the entitlement as nationals of the European Union and citizens of the European Union to move to, say, France or Spain, we have that right, as well as anyone else from Europe into, like, the UK. So really, it's not as big of a topic as it would seem. It seems that the general consensus is against people abusing this right and people coming over as job seekers and claiming all of their benefits as a result.
And finally, what is your opinion? Do you think we should stay or go?
I think we should stay in the EU, mainly because of the economic as well as regulatory benefits from the free movement of goods. In leaving, industries such as farming in the UK will probably be in further decline because of our international trading links. And yet more, the European Courts of Justice provide a safeguard to statutory misjustice and benefits us by rising the standard of living for all those in the European Union.
Okay, in terms of us in the UK and looking out to the rest of Europe, what would other European countries think now?
I think there is, like, some of these topics being brought up by David Cameron to the European community. Some of them are international, such as immigration laws and stuff. It's highly debated, obviously, but there are some countries who agree with some of the other international laws that need to be reformed. So we're not the only country. There needs to be some sort of referendum, not just in the UK, but also in Europe.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us there, Rebecca. Now, reflecting on what's happened on today's show, we started off at the beginning with a really interesting debate between Charlotte Thackeray, and who's from the In campaign, and Martin Holden from the Leave campaign, and he's a member of UKIP as well. He actually stood for the Bournemouth West seat. Some of the issues that they brought up, well, Charlotte was saying, in terms of the economy, for every £1 that we put into the EU, we get almost £10 back in increased trade investment, jobs, growth and low prices. He argues back by saying that there would be a jobs boom and firms are freed of EU regulations. Jobs are associated with trade, not membership of a political union. We moved on to it. We went on to immigration. Britain would regain the full control of its borders if we were able to leave. And coming back for the in argument, free movement would be threatened if we were to leave the EU. In terms of other issues like sovereignty, the in campaign argue that only a small percentage of laws are made in the EU. I think it was between 9% and 12% we heard in that interview earlier. However, the out campaign say we could regain full control of all laws so we can dictate our own future. As for other issues like jobs, the In campaign say 3 million UK jobs are linked to our trade with the EU, so many jobs would be lost if we were to leave. The Out campaign argue back by saying jobs are associated with trade, not membership of a political union again, so there's little evidence to suggest that trade would fall. And again, furthermore about trade, the Leave campaign say that Britain would negotiate a new trade deal with the EU, like the US and China, exporting relatively easily. However, the In campaign say the EU is in the UK's trading partner worth more than £4 billion a year, 52% of the total trade. And that's it all we've got time for today. Thank you very much for joining us on Burst for our first Brexit debate. Plenty more to be said. Stay tuned for some more great radio this evening, and we'll see you next time.